Hello, listener. NFL Week 9 highlights. Soccer Reference Week. For most, a Rabona likely came with fries and a shake. But not for poor Steelers kicker Chris Boswell, who expects to be shaken and fried by Mike Tomlin very shortly. Let's hope Chris doesn't attempt a panenka next week. And no, that doesn't come with syrup and ice cream. In a vain attempt to address the falling ratings, the NFL unleashed the Lambeau Squirrel, surely the highlight of the Packers' Colts end zone than any Packer. Actually, Twitter went nuts. After the game, speaking through his agent, the Lambeau Squirrel said that he was keen to sign a contract, but warned the Packers he wouldn't be cheap. He certainly won't play for peanuts. Meanwhile, in movie pun news, Mike McCoy screams, "Melvin, I love you, but we only have 8 games to save the season." And San Diego fans roar, "Gordon's alive!" as he shows his college form for the first time in a Chargers uniform. And as Dallas steps on some brown stuff, yes, Cleveland truly stinks. The Giants are defiant against the Eagles, and Detroit exploits the Minnesota myth. And we welcome Justin back. Thankfully, the cream worked on that very nasty rash. All that and more on this episode of the Next Up Power Rankings. Justin, welcome back, and let's do this.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
So, Justin, how are you doing?
I'm good. A little tired. I'll explain that when we get to the end of the show, but I'm very, very excited to have my Seahawks on Monday Night Football.
Absolutely, and we're going to get to them as we go through the rankings. So today we're going to look at the dead enders, and I'm looking for you to give me one position group that needs to be improved on each of these teams. So, for example, you could say San Francisco 49ers maybe need to look at the quarterback position, or and I'd like to know from you, Justin, and I'll give you mine as well, who you think is a playoff lock, who's going to the playoffs. We're halfway through the season, but who's kind of, yeah, they're definitely going to playoffs. Looking for your 12 playoff teams. So, inspiration for you as I ramble through these 32 teams. Then we'll do our extra points, and then we'll get out of here. So you can get yourself juiced up and ready for the game tonight. And so, right, as traditional these days, we'll start with number 32. And number 32 on my ranking, the Cleveland Browns. And they are down one spot, Justin. And they're down one spot for me because I saw a team that just ran out of juice last night.
Yeah, they're a team that just doesn't have the horses to compete with really anybody else in the NFL. They, at least for the first part of the game, held it pretty tight, but, you know, the lack of depth, skill, ability, coaching, plays, all of those things start to catch up with you, and those make it really tough for Cleveland. You know, they may not win any games this year, but I still like what they're doing as far as, like, stockpiling picks. I think if Jamie Collins will stick around after this year, he can sort of anchor that defense and start turning around what's been really their biggest problem, because their offense has actually played okay. And, you know, for me, what I would really like to see out of them would be, I mean, every position group on the defense, but I know that you kind of talk about the defensive line there. I agree with you completely. You know, if they can just build a defensive line that can stop the run and be really, really stout, then you can scheme around doing something like stopping the pass and working that way. But if you can build a run-stuffing defense and control some time of possession, you can start to make a winner out of this team.
You look at their their division there, and you're looking at Baltimore and Pittsburgh, who have got two quarterbacks who like to stand in the pocket and throw the ball. Okay, you know, Roethlisberger can pass. They just need to get some pressure up there. If they're going to win anything, if they're going to move this team in the division, they've got to start pressuring the opposition quarterbacks. And I know when Washington played them, they hardly got a shove against Washington.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think that there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the in this division. Really, all three teams, if you include Andy Dalton. I mean, they all have, I would just, let's say, plus quarterback play, upper half of the league quarterback play, if not a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be huge for them.
The good news for Cleveland, and you mentioned it with all their picks they've got there, there's actually looking like it's going to be eight or nine good defensive line players coming out in this next draft coming up. Obviously, we're a bit early for that yet, but that's the sort of how it's looking at the moment. So a chance there for them to possibly get one of the top defensive linemen to help them there. At number 31, we have the San Francisco 49ers. So they're up one spot. It's happy days in San Francisco. They're moving up the rankings, Justin. Not sure about you. I guess quarterback's the biggest question for them.
Yeah, quarterback is obviously a huge question mark. But, I mean, I feel like with most any team on the bottom half, you can pretty much say that. You know, any one of these teams with an elite quarterback would probably do much, much better. And they kind of like the Browns, sort of need everything. But if there was one thing that I would really like to see out of them, it would probably be kind of like the Cleveland, you know, just a dominant defensive line, sort of in the vein of what we see out of the LA Rams, because I think they've got a good running back in Carlos Hyde, and it's kind of that same idea is, you know, if on a basic level you can play really good on the defensive front, stop the run, get after their quarterback, and then control it with a good running game, you know, to me that's just the most basic building blocks of a team that's at least competitive in every game.
I think what's going to be unfortunate for some of these teams, Justin, is that the quarterback class doesn't look very good coming out at the moment. So maybe not a high pick on a quarterback, but I always think back to the maybe last 4 or 5 years, and you think of the good San Francisco teams, you think of linebackers, don't you? You think of the two inside linebackers they had, Bowman and the chap who retired, really outstanding player who retired this past offseason. They've had these great linebackers, and you wonder, is that what they need? Do they need another dominating linebacker in there?
You know, I agree to an extent, but to me, as a team who faced them so many times per year, the things that really kept me up tonight were the Smiths, Alden and Justin Smith. When those two were at their absolute best and just a wrecking crew on the defensive line, there was no team in the league that wanted to play against that San Francisco defense. If they can get that back, that'll cover up a lot of deficiencies throughout the entire rest of the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to say that I apologize to Patrick Willis. I forgot who he was there for a moment. Patrick Willis, of course, was the great inside linebacker they had for all those years. But I agree with you, Justin. Yeah, San Francisco, a lot of work to do. Number 30, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars. No change from last week. And I look at them and I think, well, you never know, Justin. Quarterback could be a question there. But what about pass rush there too?
Yeah, I feel like they've been trying to get pass rushers the entire time, and it just hasn't really worked out.
Fowler.
Yeah, Fowler, you know, obviously he missed his entire rookie year. You know, so this is basically his rookie year. But this is a team that just based on the head coach, everybody thought would just built a terrific defense and then would be so-so on offense. And while the offense has been a little bit disappointing this year, for the most part, in this tenure, they've been led by their offense. So, at least to me, I look at this team and I really think that, you know, they need help on the defense, and a really good secondary would go a long way for them, especially assuming they stick with Gus Bradley, which I don't think they will, and he tries to make that kind of faux Seahawks sort of team, because they're pretty stout up front. Their linebackers are okay. So if you can make it really difficult, especially in their division, you know, where they're competing with like the Andrew Lux of the world, if they can take away the pass effectively, they've got a good shot, assuming that their offense kind of comes back to what we were accustomed to the last year or two.
Yeah, absolutely. They got Jalen Ramsey, didn't they, last year, who plays in one corner position, but the rest of the secondary, yeah, it's not that great. Again, they're a team, if they're looking for secondary help, there's going to be... again, 7, 8, 9 potential first-round cornerbacks and safeties coming out. So good opportunity for them. I guess if they get rid of Gus Bradley at the end of the season, and I agree with you, I think they probably will. He's a defensive coach, so the usual procedure is to go for an offensive coach next time. Change it up. Maybe that's what the quarterback needs.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. That seems to be the trend every year. And I do think, especially when you have a young quarterback, if you still believe in him, that's probably the move you make is try and build around him. If they get the right quarterback guru and Blake Bortles can improve, I mean, they've got the pieces around him offensively, I think. They've got a good running back. They've got good wide receivers. They've got a good tight end. So other than that offensive line, which is pretty mediocre, they've got all the pieces of a good offense.
Moving on to number 29, we've got a team there who have got a young quarterback, good arm, good intelligence, throws the ball well, has a little bit of experience. Case Keenum, surely the man.
Oh, God, no. What a man. He is a borderline backup quarterback in the NFL, and that's the nicest thing you can say about him. To me, what they need is a new head coach. There's too much talent on this team to always be 7-9. But when you're Jeff Fisher's team, that's apparently the goal every year. You're going to win 7 games, 2 of them against the Seahawks, and that's it. You know, they've got a Todd Gurley who's having a down year, but I still think is maybe the most talented back in the league. They still have that ferocious defensive line. Their defense in general is really good. So if you have a good defense and a good running game, like, pretend it's the 1950s and play some old-school slobber knocker football and win some games that way. And they don't. They don't have a capability to do it, and I don't know why. So first and foremost, replace the head coach.
Great slobber knocker reference there, Justin. Well done. I would say with the Rams, for me, you think about the head coaching position, and if they do get rid of Jeff Fisher, and to be honest with you, Justin, an NFL without Jeff Fisher... Well, I'm not sure if I want to see that, actually. But if they do get rid of him, I do wonder, is that the sort of market that's going to demand a high-profile, well-known coach like Gruden or somebody like that from the booth coming to coach them?
The thing I wonder about that, though, is you look at, like, your Grudens and your Cowers, like Mike Holmgren and, like, some of these, you know, guys who have had success, you know, 10 years ago. Like, how contemporary is their skill set anymore? I mean, you know, yeah, you know, they're still part of the game, they're analysts, they're following it, but, you know, can you still coach 10-plus years later? I don't know if you can. I think that a lot of things have changed. There's a lot of skill set involved outside of just knowing X's and O's, and the X's and O's have changed a little bit too. So I don't know if that's a recipe for success. I think, if anything, I could see them going for, like, the hot offensive coordinator name, like maybe Josh McDaniels or something along those lines. But you know, one of these kind of names that keep getting kicked around from yesteryear, I don't know if they can still coach.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? The game moves on. It never stops moving on. That's the beauty of it, of course. With the Rams, I would probably want to see them getting some skill position players. You see them last night, and who are they throwing the ball to? You know, it's okay, Keenum's not the answer, I'm sure. Whether Goff is, we'll find that out, but he needs a number one receiver for a start.
Yeah, true. However, you know, Tavon Austin was a top 20 pick a couple of years ago.
He's a top 10 pick, wasn't he?
Maybe. I mean, he was definitely a higher pick. And, you know, he was picked that high for a reason, and it could be that, you know, he was overdrafted and his talent and skill set and football smarts, this is who he is. Or it could be that this coaching staff doesn't know how to use him and mismanages his talents, and a better head coach could turn him into a, you know, like a Percy Harvin in his prime type of wide receiver, which would be really, really excellent. Kenny Britt's actually a pretty decent player as well. He's got good size. So I don't think the cupboard's completely bare there. And again, you've got that great running back as well. I think that the right head coach and possibly with the right quarterback could at least get average play out of this offense.
Of course, Tavon Austin, he came in that horrendous first round of 2013, where I think there's very few players in the top sort of 15 pick did anything. Tavon Austin was selected, wait for it, Justin, 8th overall.
That's terrible. I think in that draft especially, if you just selected none of the above, that probably would have been your best move in that top 10 of the first round.
Hey, I know we're trying to get through this in 45 minutes, but let me just read you out the first 10 or 10, 10 to a dozen picks here. Okay, Eric is going from one down. Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel, Deion Jordan, Lane Johnson, Ezekiel Ansah, Barkevious Mingo, Jonathan Cooper, Tavon Austin, D. Milner, Chance Warmack, DJ Fluker, DJ Hayden, Sheldon Richardson, and Star Lotulelei.
Okay, so you just named 2.5 good players out of that entire bunch.
We have two Pro Bowlers in that group, Ezekiel Ansah and Sheldon Richardson. And Star Lotulelei has been on and off. He's had some good stuff, but some poor stuff too. My God, Tavon
And
Austin.
that's exactly where I got my 2.5 good players from.
Yes, indeed. Exactly. I mean, the rest of them are just terrible. I mean, Lane Johnson's a good player, but he's juiced half the time. So you kind of got, well, Tavon Austin was number 8, but then you've got just before him Jonathan Cooper and directly after him D. Milner. I mean, wow. That is.
Jonathan Cooper, who nobody wants.
You know, I remember that draft, Justin, but and it was like, oh well, you got Cooper and Warmack, the two guards, and these were the two new great all-time guards. You know, these were the two guys. This was absolutely shoo-in Pro Bowls, perennial Pro Bowls, and look at them. I mean, Warmack barely gets a game for Tennessee, and Cooper, is Cooper out of the league at the moment?
I'm not. He might. Last I heard, he was getting cut by the Patriots, but I'm not
Yeah,
sure if he
that's right. Yeah.
ended up hanging on somewhere else.
Anyway, let's move on because my stomach's starting to turn looking at this lot. Right, we have at number 28 the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I've put down for them. They're down two spots this week after they lost the Thursday night game to Atlanta, wasn't it? Yeah, and I've put in here offensive line and edge rusher. I see too many people in Jameis Winston's face.
Oh, I agree with you completely. I think they've got good skill position players. I think that Mike Evans is an absolute monster. I think that Jameis Winston is a really good player. Just give him some time, give him some room to work and help out the running game as well. And then you've got a really, really potent offense. You know, I think that they've got all the makings of a high-end offense if they can just fix that one part of it.
I do. Did you see Evans catch the one-handed catch he got on the sideline, and then the hit he took and he held on the ball against
Yeah, no,
Atlanta?
that yeah, that
Wow.
that that was awesome.
That was a special play. Okay, number 27, we have the New York Jets. They are dropping three spots from last week, Justin. Pretty miserable game there against Miami, although Miami, of course, playing much, much better. But I guess the question with the Jets is all about the quarterback, isn't it? Or is there something else you see?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with these teams, again, I think we could pretty much always point at the quarterback. But if we're going to look elsewhere, their secondary is terrible. Darrelle Revis is a bad football player at this point of his career. You know, this is a team that you go back a couple of years, and they might have had the two best corners in the NFL between Cromartie and Revis at their best. And now, I mean, you know, you and I could pass on these guys.
Yes, well, I could pass on most secondaries, I'm sure. Yeah, you're right. It's a shame to see Revis actually playing so poorly. What a great, great player he's been. So yeah, secondary helps for sure. Number 26, we saw an encouraging performance by the Chicago Bears. They knocked off. Now, was that Minnesota they beat last week? It was, wasn't it? Minnesota.
It sure was.
And you have to. Yeah, I put the secondary down as their big area of need. But with them, you might even be looking quarterback there too. Depends what they do with Jay Cutler.
Yeah, Cutler's always a hard one for me because he'll have entire seasons of good and bad football, and his good seasons are a quarterback that you can win playoff games with. So he's just so up or down. The Bears have never had even a remotely good offensive line, pretty much in my entire memory, so that's certainly something that they could use. But for me, you know, to me the Bears are just a team that is supposed to have a really good defense, and they don't. Their defense is bad, and it drives me kind of nuts. And so I would want to see them invest their resources there. And at least, you know, for me, I would love to see them get, you know, the heir to Brian Urlacher, that kind of player, that just like all world dominant force over in the middle of the field that contributes in the run game. That can contribute in the passing game, that kind of do everything Swiss Army knife sort of a player that leads the defense. Something like that would make such a big difference for them.
Yep, and they should certainly find that in this draft coming up this in 2017. I do like, you're right, that when you think of Chicago, you think that super tough defense. They all seem to have that. Well, we'll see if they can figure that out in the offseason. Number 25, and maybe this is where your quarterback questions fall away, because I know how much you are a huge fan of Andrew Luck and his Indianapolis Colts, who move up two spots with a surprising victory, I guess, in Green Bay. And going forward, surely, this is a team who've got the 31st ranked defense in the league. Just quite any defender will do, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. Andrew Luck is playing relatively well this year, so I'm not going to beat him up too much. Is he like a top, absolute elite top-tier quarterback? No, but he's playing really well, so kudos to him. Actually, I'd be interested to see how he compares to Matthew Stafford this year. That could be a pretty close one. To me, those two players are just super parallel to each other and always have been. But yeah, they need help on defense for sure. What I would like to see them do would be kind of like what they did back in the Peyton Manning heyday, which is really get elite edge pass rushers and just assume that your offense is going to score some points and get you ahead so that they can pin their ear backs and just start going and going and going against teams that are forced into passing downs. If they can do that, that's a really, really difficult thing for other teams to deal with. You know, yeah, maybe you're a little bit light against the run, but if you're assuming that's your quarterback that you really love and your wide receivers and all that are going to get you elite at some point, then you can kind of cheat towards this playing from ahead scheme, and it would work great for them, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a great shout in terms of the old Freeney and Mathis days when they did just that. Yeah, the other thing I would throw out there for Indianapolis fans is, yeah, okay, Hilton's good, Moncrief's good, but does Andrew Luck also need a true number one receiver?
I mean, I don't know. Need is a tough one. There's not maybe a dozen true number one wide receivers in the NFL, and there's a lot of teams higher up on this list than the Colts are. So, you know, would he like one? Sure, but if he is the player that people think he is, then he shouldn't need that.
You think it's all defense for them?
I think if he is the player that people think he is, then yes, absolutely. I think that he should be able to make his own number one wide receiver if he's got some talented players to throw to.
Okay, so that's Indianapolis at 25. At 24, Tennessee Titans. And my notes I've taken, Justin, although they've moved up a spot, looking forward to the next year or so, they need a skilled player, a wide receiver. Wide receiver for me.
Yeah, you can take pretty much the opposite of what I said about Andrew Luck here. Marcus Mariota, he's a guy that really, really could use that number one wide receiver. I mean, there's not many of them. They're hard to come by. But if you can get him a safety blanket, a guy that he absolutely trusts completely, that could be so impactful for that offense.
Yep. We'll see. I'm not sure. The wide receiver depth in the draft next year doesn't look to be that great. There's a lad from Clemson. He's called Mike Williams, I think. I mean, how many Mike Williams wide receivers have we had in the NFL in the last 10 years? Three, four? Anyway, he's going to be the next attempt to be the great Mike Williams. At number 23, we have the Buffalo Bills. No change for Buffalo. They're on Monday Night Football, and they're playing, oh, I forget who they're playing, Justin, some team just in near Canada?
I believe it's the South Saskatchewan Seahawks.
What do you think about tonight's game?
I feel confident about this game. I think the Bills are a mid-tier team, and I think the Seahawks are a good team. The offense has been struggling, but Russell Wilson's getting a little bit healthier every week. The Bills have a terrific pass rush, but it sounds like some of their pass rushers, even if they're going to play, are a little banged up. I mentioned this before, that the Seahawks have by far the best record on Monday Night Football, and Pete Carroll in particular is something like 14-2 in primetime games. So you give me a Monday night primetime game at home, I don't care what team is on the other side of the field. The Seahawks are going to win this one.
Do you think Wilson's getting healthier?
Well, as of this week in practice, he's no longer wearing the ankle brace, so that's a good sign. Either that or it's a bad sign, and they're just completely given up on it and said that it's toast. And last week he was playing with a pectoral sprain, a pectoral strain, which definitely took away his deep ball, his ability to throw down the field. At least reports from practice are that it was a fairly short-term injury, and he's able to throw down the field again. So it's still the knee. I don't think we're going to see the same mobile Russell Wilson for at least a couple more weeks. So the need's the big limitation there, but that's really the only thing that's holding him back at this point. Other than that, the rest of the team is starting to get a little bit healthier. Still no Cam Chancellor, which is kind of a bummer. Still no Michael Bennett, and that's an incredibly good player to be missing. But the guys who have been filling in have done a really, really good job. So overall, I think the team's on the defensive side of the ball is in good shape, and the offense is really just waiting for Russell to heal up and for Thomas Rawls to come back soon.
Okay, we better speak about Buffalo since we are at number 23 for Buffalo. Looking at their future, obviously they're going to be coaching questions at the end of the season. But again, for them, they might get Watkins back, but he's been an injury-plagued player throughout his short career. I still think Tyrod Taylor, he needs another target, a good wide receiver, maybe a better tight end to, like you said before, a sort of comfort blanket player.
Yeah, they're a team that has good pieces on both sides of the ball, so I think there's a lot of potential there. I mean, can I go on the record and be maybe the first guy to say that Sammy Watkins is a bust? You know, when he plays, he looks really good, but he keeps getting hurt, and injuries accumulate. You know, every time you get like a lower body injury, it slows you down a little bit and takes away some of your explosiveness. And yeah. As those things keep happening, you know, even if he is able to play, even at this point, you know, if all of his injuries heal, is he still the same fast, explosive Sammy Watkins now as he was when he came out of the draft? I don't know if we can say that. I really don't know about him. So a wide receiver would be really, really nice. Tyrod Taylor's, you know, he kind of is what he is. He's a he plays almost like a college quarterback, where he's going to be throwing for big chunk plays. He's going to have a lower completion percentage, but his yards per completion are going to be pretty high. I think that's okay. They've got, you know, LeSean McCoy is playing great. It'd be nice to see them have the heir apparent for him. But between that and a defense that is actually playing surprisingly okay for having a Rob Ryan on it, they're in okay shape right now.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I like your comments about Watkins. I think that's fair. I think when a player does get these, what you would call sort of minor injuries, but he gets them over and over and over in different areas of his body, that's surely going to take some of his explosiveness away. But I'm not a Tyrod Taylor fan. I can see he brings excitement to the game. I'm not sure he brings you consistent long-term success. Be interesting to see what they do with him in the next year or two. Right, that's our dead enders, Justin. We'll quickly just nick through the pretenders and see how they're doing. There's been a little bit of a change there. We've got Arizona at 22. There's no change for them. They were on a bye week. The Philadelphia Eagles. Sorry, Eagles Nation, I've dropped them 10 spots, and that's not NFC East bias. I think it's really just the fact that they're starting to realize that Carson Wentz is a rookie quarterback. He's going to have his knocks. The defense can't hold up all the time. I think they were missing Logan at the weekend. He's a huge miss for them. And when Leotis McKelvin is your top cornerback, then you have got problems. Just you say something whenever you fancy, Justin.
But wasn't planning on it.
Oh, you weren't planning on it? Come on, this is Philadelphia. Hey, Eagles James will be desperate for you to say something about this, their team. Do you think dropping them 10 spots is enough? Too much?
Is it enough? I mean, they lose one game and you put their feet in a bucket of cement and throw them off the boat. I think there might be a little bit of East Coast bias on that. I think that, you know, Carson Wentz is going through the struggles that rookie and young quarterbacks go through. You know, he played really well. Defensive coordinators figure out what he does well and they're taking that away. He needs to adjust. It'll probably take a few weeks to adjust, but he will adjust. And then he'll be fine. Their defense is strong. They don't have a ton of great players on offense because Chip Kelly apparently hated good players, so he jettisoned all of them. So you know, we saw their ceiling a few weeks ago. I think that this is probably their floor, though.
Chip Kelly made one huge mistake, and that was he said that his system was much more important than players, and then that might be true in the college game, but in the NFL, you can't do without top class talent to win championships. I have to tell you why I dropped them to 21, because that group of teams between, I would say, 10 and 22, they're all chuck them in a bag and pull them out. Philadelphia have lost. They have lost to Washington, and they didn't. That wasn't even close against Washington, even though the score was close. They lost to Detroit, and they lost to the New York Giants. So yeah, I can't. I had to drop them down that far. But they've got a chance to pick it up. Okay, we've got Miami at number 20. They move up a spot. Baltimore at 19. They move up a spot. And then with the three bye teams, Houston at 18, Cincinnati at 17, Washington at 16. They stay the same from last year. Then we have Detroit at 15, up four spots, and they are heading towards the top, in my opinion, Justin. And then maybe a controversial one, Pittsburgh down to number 14. Can you tell Greg why they should be at 14?
I don't think Greg needs any explanation for me for why they should be at 14. Here's a team that going into the season we thought was one of the absolute elite teams in the AFC. They're currently a 500 team. They're 4-4. When you're 4-4, you get to be in this middle of the pack group.
Yeah. Interestingly, they're very seldom do they play Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Roethlisberger all in the same game. It's not often they've lined up together, and that was them lining up together.
Are you saying you think maybe that they're actually not three different people? Maybe it's just two of them at the most, and they just rotate who is going to be in?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. I don't think it was Ben that was playing, Big Ben that was playing on Sunday. However, Carolina, they're up to number 13, up two spots. The Giants also up two spots at number 12 after they beat the Eagles. And New Orleans, who you have seen up close and personal, they're up two spots to number 11. And again, a team on the rise.
Yeah, they're a team Hold on. I want to talk about New Orleans real quick. So all of their losses were really, really close losses. Their wins have been pretty close as well. So, you know, they're a team that, you know, if, you know, a few things had broken differently, could have a substantially better record than they do right now. And they played some pretty good teams. They're a team that I think is really set up well for good second half success. And they're a team that people really need to watch out for at this point.
Yeah, they played some good teams, but they also played some right bums. Hey, Justin. right, at number 10, we've got the San Diego Chargers. They're up two spots, and that was a fantastic game they played last night against the Tennessee Titans. End-to-end stuff, but finally, Flash Gordon did his stuff.
Yeah, it's good to see him come on and be the player that we thought that he would be. I'm a little disappointed in San Diego, though, with how bad Tennessee is. You know, if we're going to say San Diego is a really great team, they need to really, really blow the doors off of the Titans. They didn't separate from them much until the very end of the game.
True. It's very unusual, isn't it, for a running back to have such a turnaround in his fortunes after such a disappointing rookie season.
Oh, you know, that'd be an interesting thing to put, like, James, our Texans fan, on and look at.
Yep.
Biggest year-over-year improvement from rookie to sophomore seasons.
That'll get him off the Sam Bradford hype train.
Oh, that would be lovely.
The world would be a happier place. Right, the Green Bay Packers are at number 9, down one spot after just a bizarre performance against the Indianapolis Colts. Everybody is moving the ball in Indianapolis Colts, up and down the field, running, passing, you name it, you can do what you want with Indianapolis. And yet Green Bay just looked like they were treading through treacle.
Yeah, so let me ask you this, Neil. Why are the Packers a top 10 team?
Because I tell you why they are, Justin, because if I drop them out of the top 10, I'll start getting Aaron Rodgers hate mail again.
And you know what? I was one of the people who were most against you on that one. But so far this year, you're proven right. All right. So here are the teams that the Packers have beaten. Are you ready?
Go.
They beat the Jaguars, the Lions, the Giants, and the Bears. They've lost to the Vikings, Cowboys, Falcons, and Colts.
Yeah.
Why are they a top 10 team?
You know, you are right. You are right. Where would you have them then? You'd have them below New Orleans?
Right now, if I'm trying to take off my bias for having rated them so high, preseason, and I'm trying to be sort of intellectually honest with them, I would at least have them below New Orleans, and I would, I'd be tempted to have them below the Giants, even though they beat the Giants a few weeks ago. I think since that time that the Giants have come up and the Packers have gone down. And so, to me, I think Green Bay and Pittsburgh are basically tw like, opposite conference inverted versions of each other.
So somewhere in around the 14-15 part of the rankings. Yeah, that's a fair point. I don't know if you noticed, we saw much of the game last night, Justin, but I was really interested to see how the Indianapolis Colts edge rushers really did their best to set the edge and keep Rodgers in the pocket. That seemed to be quite noticeable, especially in the first half, and maybe something that other teams will try to do a bit more of, because he always seems to be his most dangerous when he's, rolling out the pocket and throwing the ball downfield and all
Yeah,
running.
and I also think that their wide receivers are playing terrible, so their strategy pretty much was just contain him, and his guys aren't going to get open. And that seems to be what, at least to my eye, what's been happening lately, and it's been working really well against them.
Yeah, I mean, you can go back to the podcasts that we did in the off season, or in the preseason, sorry, when I said that Jordy Nelson did not look right, and he still doesn't look right. He's not back from his injury yet, fully, as far as I'm concerned. He doesn't have the separation. It's quite sad to see such a good player struggling like that.
You're
Anyway,
totally right.
let's get cracking here. Number eight, the Minnesota Vikings, down five spots, and if it wasn't because I was such a nice chap, I may have dropped them down even further, because they are looking seriously in trouble.
Yeah, so this is a team that I could see kind of getting the Eagles treatment. If I'm not mistaken, they were the last undefeated team.
Yes, correct.
And right now, I worry that they're in free fall. I mean, they lost to the Bears and the Lions. I mean, division foes, so I guess take that into consideration, but they didn't look good in any way, shape, or form. This defense, which was looked so strong early in the year, has now given up 20 points to the Bears, which is more than points than you should give up to the Bears. And 22 to the Lions, which seems about right. And then this offense can't do anything. They can't move the ball, they can't score. I mean, I'm sorry, they've lost three in a row now. So this offense has scored 10, 10, and 16 points.
It's not going to
That's
cut it.
terrible.
That's not going to cut it. One of the startling aspects of last night's game, or yesterday afternoon's game, was in overtime. Detroit got the ball and they took the ball in overtime, and they just drove right down the field and scored.
Yeah. This defense. Everything was clicking, but it's starting to fall apart. I think the wheels are starting to come out off of Vikings in general. I mean, as far as where I would have them, they've just lost three in a row, including getting beat by double digits to the Eagles a couple weeks ago. I think they need to be down in that same territory as Philadelphia.
We can have our own little fourth tier, the tier of the teams who were looking good but are now just rubbish. Very disappointing. Also, when you look at the Norv Turner resigning for unknown reasons, and the coach's comments about that being surprised and all the rest of it, that points to a bit of disunity as well, doesn't it, within the organization, and that's never good.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of hope that they're going to bounce back from this
No.
and have this just be a momentary blip on the radar. I think that I think that we are going to be talking about them a lot less as they become a mid-tier and then perhaps even a cellar dweller team.
Yep. Okay, number seven, we've got the Denver Broncos. Now, I haven't changed the Denver Broncos. They're in the same place as they were last week, and that's primarily because they played a very good division opponent in a game that Oakland dominated, certainly. But I also think Denver had some injuries there, so I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt and leaving them at number seven.
Yeah, I think it's relatively fair. A really hard fought division game on the road that you won against a very highly that you narrowly well that you lost against a very highly ranked opponent, that shouldn't absolutely punish you. And obviously, there's no way I would let you put them below Minnesota or Green Bay at
No.
this point.
Yeah,
So I
no,
think that's fine where
absolutely.
they're at.
Number six, the Seattle Seahawks. No change because they haven't played yet, playing tonight. We didn't get a score prediction from you, Justin, earlier on.
Let's go with 24-10.
And in terms of the number of braces that Wilson will be wearing by the end of the game, over, under 2.5?
I'm going to take the over on that one. I think that he'll get one on his other knee and elbow and perhaps a orthodontia once he takes something to the mouth.
Oh, nice. Excellent. That sounds like a good one, yeah. Okay, number five, up four spots, the Oakland Raiders. And they've been round about the 8th and 9th spot in our rankings for a few weeks. But they're going up now because that was a bit of you could say a signature win. You know, tough division opponent, as we said, Super Bowl reigning Super Bowl champions in a game that was for the division lead. I was impressed by Oakland. And as a Washington fan, very happy to have given you David Amerson last year. Very happy to have given you Perry Riley this year. And who would you like next year?
Yeah, Oakland is sort of gelling at the right time, which is nice. By far the biggest win of the year, by far. At this point, they've got the best record. Although that's kind of a technicality because they've played one more game than the Chiefs. They both have the same number of losses. So I think the division, truthfully, the division's probably Kansas City is in control because they already won at Oakland.
Right.
And so when they play each other again, it's going to be a Thursday night game at Arrowhead, which, I would put that right upside essentially like as the most difficult place to play at in the NFL. So that's going to be a really tall task for Oakland. I think that's probably what that division is going to come down to.
Yep, certainly is at the moment. Just ahead of the NFC East as the best division in football. Number four, we have the Atlanta Falcons up one spot after a solid performance against Tampa Bay, where they went out, they won the game, job done, go home. At number three, we have the Kansas City Chiefs, also up one spot. They won a game in the past weekend, okay. It was only against Jacksonville, but it was with their backup quarterback, with Alex Smith being out, we think, injured. Kansas City just rolling along quite smoothly.
Yeah, and I think they made some good choices. I think picking up Nick Foles, having I would call him a high-end backup, not a starting quarterback in the league, but a high-end backup. I think that clearly paid dividends. Losing Jamal Charles for the rest of the year is obviously a big blow, and they were without Spencer Ware. But Charcandrick West did fine. They're getting Nell Davis back, and they'll get Spencer Ware back pretty soon. Sounds like Smith will be back. So they're a team that, they're the most difficult type of team to play because they're pretty good everywhere. They can run pretty good. They can pass pretty good. Their defense is stout against the run and difficult to pass on. I mean, it doesn't matter what sort of team you have, they're well built to exploit your holes and to kind of shut down what you do pretty well. So they're a really good team.
Am I right in saying they're 16-2 in the last 18 regular season games?
No, I think you're right. They had that ridiculous run last year and they only have a couple losses this year. My goodness, they're... Andy Reid has done an incredible job with that team.
He's a great regular season coach.
Yeah, he is. It would be nice to see him have some postseason success, kind of get off the schneid that way. But 25 other teams in the NFL should have been knocking down his door when he was available.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe it was just time for a change in Philadelphia all around, but really good coach who puts a good organization together. Okay, number two, we've got the Dallas Cowboys. No change for them. They pulled Cleveland's pants down and smacked their bottoms yesterday. And at number one, we have the New England Patriots. They were on a bye week. They stay at number one. It was nice to have a New England free weekend, wasn't it? In terms of the Dallas Cowboys, though, Justin, the big talking point still, when does Romo come back, if he does come back at all?
Yeah, everybody's got an opinion on this one. Mine is simply that they should roll with Dak Prescott for now, even when Romo's back. My reasoning being that if Prescott's ineffective or he gets hurt, you can plug Romo in and he'll be able to go immediately. There's nothing about this offense he doesn't know. And I don't think the reverse is true. If you put Romo in and his collarbone explodes or... He struggles. I think it's really, really difficult to go back to Dak Prescott at that point. And so I think just covering all your bases, it's just a safer play to go with Dak going forward.
Yeah. Interestingly, I was reading what Kevin, our Cowboys super fan, has to say, and he's very much pro bring Romo back and sit Dak. And I can understand his reasons why. You watch the Cowboys, and they're not expansive in the passing game. Okay, you can say, yeah, but they're 7-1. Maybe when it comes time to the playoffs, they'll need that extra ability at the quarterback position. But we'll see. That's no doubt a great position for any team to be in, I suppose. So, yeah, Kansas City number 3, Dallas number 2, New England number 1. Now, Justin, I was going to ask you quickly. We have the playoff picture as it stands at the moment. 6 teams from the NFC, 6 teams from the AFC, obviously, and they're seeded 1-6. And things are fairly secure in terms of our power rankings here. We've got New England number 1, and they're the AFC's number 1 seeded team. Dallas is number one NFC seeded team, and they're number 2 in our power rankings. And we've got the seconds as well in our rankings, with Atlanta and Oakland as the second seeds in their respective conferences. But I am looking down our rankings, and okay, you've got how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Our top 8 in the power rankings, that's Minnesota, Denver, Seattle, Oakland, Atlanta, Kansas City, Dallas, and New England. They're all seeded for the playoffs. So yeah, that all looks good. But then our AFC, currently the AFC's third seed, are the Houston Texans. So they're down at number 18. And an AFC number 4 seed, the Baltimore Ravens, down at number 19. Who's wrong, the NFL or us, Justin?
So I look at these power rankings, and there's a couple that stick out right now that I don't think are going to be there. Minnesota is not going to be the NFC 4 seed. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs. I think that team is imploding. Likewise, I think that I think that having New Orleans out of the playoffs at this point is going to change. I think that they're probably going to be your 6th seed.
Hey, NFC. What are you saying about my Washington?
I'm saying I think Washington will be the 5 seed.
Thank you.
not an important distinction, but all right. So I think that's what's going to round out the bottom of your playoffs there. I don't, for the first time in a long time, I don't see a second team coming out of the NFC West. I think that we're going to have at least a couple teams come out of the AFC West, though. I think that definitely. I think you're definitely going to get Kansas City and Oakland. And it wouldn't be that crazy to see Denver or San Diego make it out of there. So you could see both wild cards come out of that side. There's got to be a division winner in the AFC South. So
does it have to be, Justin?
Unfortunately, that's a flaw in the rule book. And so I don't know. I mean, the Colts have played okay lately. Maybe it could be them. Maybe it could be Houston. I don't know. Frankly, I don't care. They're going to get blown out in their first round anyway. And, you know, someone's going to win the AFC North. So, I mean, I guess it's Pittsburgh at this point. I mean, if Cincinnati turns it on strong, though, and finishes out, you know, with a strong regular season like we're accustomed to, now that they have Tyler Eifert back, would that be that surprising? I don't think so.
It's Baltimore now. Can Baltimore go on and keep it?
No, they can't. I just think their team is too old, too beat up, and they're not going to be playing well in weeks 10 through 17. But if it comes down to a tie between them and Pittsburgh, they'll have the tiebreaker. I'm pretty confident. So
what I'm hearing you say, sorry, yeah, what I'm hearing you saying is that the bulk of our rankings, where the main seeds are, that's fine. But you think that there's going to be a poor team in from the AFC South. There's going to be, well, possibly even a poor team from the AFC North, and we could have 3 teams from the NFC East in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly right.
Nobody else in your division.
I mean, you know, Green Bay, if they turn their stuff around, could be a playoff team. Detroit is likewise borderline right there.
Or Carolina.
No. Oh, no. I mean, they finally won, like, their second game against a really lousy team. Mazel tov. I mean, good for you guys. I don't have any faith in them right now. They seem more concerned about crying to the league office about things that happened in there, about actually trying to win football games right now.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So I'm going to vote then that we stop the season now because Washington's in the playoffs. How does that sound?
What's my seed right now? You know, let the Seahawks win another game or two so we can get that first week by, and then we'll talk.
You're number three seed. So as it stands, Justin, if the playoffs were happening this coming weekend, it would be Washington at Seattle.
Oh yeah, you guys would get crushed.
So clearly that would be the end of your playoff run. we'll do to Wilson what you did to RG3 all those years ago. How's that?
Wait, watch his knee explode after his coach left him in for too long.
No, terrible days. Anyway, Justin, that takes us on to actually my extra point for this week, which was I was kind of watching the Pittsburgh and Baltimore game, and I thought to myself, 2 or 3 years ago, this was a game that the entire nation and all the other nations in the world who watch football would actually be stopping what they were doing and watching the game, because Pittsburgh and Baltimore was a rivalry that went over and above their own division and was a great rivalry within the NFL. And I thought to myself, well, okay, it's not Baltimore and Pittsburgh anymore because they're two fairly ordinary teams. Who are the great rivals in the NFL? Division rivalries or Brady Manning or, you know, the great cornerback against the great receiver. Where do we see, where are the rivalry games today that we would say, right, I need to stop what I'm doing here and I need to watch this game because this is a huge game. And we talked about parity in the pod on Thursday, and this is another area where I'm kind of struggling to find a great division rivalry. I could say Washington and Dallas or whatever, but that's not going to strike a thrill in your heart or other non-Dallas or Washington fans' hearts. So yeah, I'm looking for some help here, Justin.
No, yeah, I've thought about that too. I mean, you go back a couple of years, and I think the Seahawks 49ers was, you know, that was must-see TV, even if you're not a football fan. And now, you know, there was, like, some people were trying to talk like the Cardinals Seahawks was one, but I don't think anybody, at least in the Seattle area, ever felt that way. And definitely the way the teams are now certainly doesn't reflect that. I guess the Washington-Dallas one, you know, I guess that one goes back to the 1870s in the Wild West, Cowboys versus Indians and all that. You know, I'm with you. I don't see it either. I mean, you know, the Jets and the Patriots still hate each other. So there's at least some, like, vitriol there, but it's not like that's a competitive one. I think the elements that you need, though, is you need to have two teams that are good, that are competitive with each other, and that are playing for something when they play against each other and play each other frequently. I don't see anybody who's doing that. I mean, I think the closest that we're going to see, I think it's developing, is going to be the Raiders and the Chiefs. I think that's two upper-tier teams that are really fighting over something and face each other a lot. But, like, you know, last year, maybe could have made the case for the Steelers and the Bengals, but both of those teams have been so-so this year. I don't see where the rivalries are right now. I suppose there's Odell Beckham in that kicking net, but I think they made up and made nice too, so who knows?
Well, listener, this is also a question for you. Your team aside, which rivalries do you actually turn your TV over for, even though it's not your own team? Who gets you going and is a must-watch game? I would say, Justin, that one of the issues is also that you take teams like Seattle, Green Bay, Arizona, and Carolina, the four sort of what you would call them, the sort of powerhouse teams for the last year or two in the NFC. They've all just had the edge taken off them. They've all just dropped that 10%, and that's taken away a lot of that great viewing experience. I think back to, was it last week or the week before, where Arizona played Carolina in the rematch of the championship game from last year? And it was like, yeah, who cares? I'm watching the ladies' volleyball instead. It was just nothing there. There was no spark to get you going. So, yeah, listener, send us in at next fan up. Oh, I forget the email address. Justin, do the email address thing.
Email us at nextfanup@gmail.com. Reach us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. Tell us who you think the great rivalries are. What teams other than your own that you tune in to watch when they play each other? Let us know, because we're at a loss right now.
You're really good at that.
Well, I'm a host for a reason.
Right, Justin. And I have no idea why I'm hosting this. But there we go. Justin, do you have an extra point this week? I think you probably do.
I do, and it kind of ties into that. And this one doesn't have so much a lot to do with football as it has to do with the Next Fan Up podcast itself, which is obviously something that is near and dear to both of our hearts. So I help host, but mostly just produce, the Sunday Recap Show, which is where we're stitching together opinions from 32 fans from across the league. And it's not the easiest thing to put together, but we all love the show, and I'm happy to do it. It takes some time. Depending on what time you download, though, you may have noticed yesterday's was a little bit late, and I may have done a little bit less editing than usual. So I just want to tell you this, take you behind the curtain, tell you the story of that. So we use a online website to record things. I won't name names, but they made some updates recently, and the little button that lets you download what you recorded wasn't working. So I tried a couple times, didn't work, got a little annoyed, restarted my computer, still didn't work. Tried a different browser, still didn't work. Tried my wife's computer, still didn't work. Went back to my computer, still didn't work on those little download links. And at this point, I'm getting irritated because I have a whole lot of show to edit and splice together, and I want to get it out to people as quickly as I can. And so let's just say I'm aggressively clicking on the mouse pad on my laptop, and I start to hear a clicking sound when my fingers aren't on it. And then my computer stops. Now, I know computers well enough to recognize that sound as something mechanical happening. So I take my computer apart, pull off the bottom cover, and pull out the little hard drive, which apparently they store directly underneath the mouse pad on my laptop, which in my aggressive clicking, I have bent. Now, those of you who don't know computers may not realize that the hard drive, it's a little mini spinning disk, kind of like an old record player. When it's bent, it's toast. So in my annoyance at the website last night, I broke my computer that I used to edit the show. Now,
sorry, I shouldn't laugh, should I?
No, it's fine. Given the choice between being more mad and less mad, I decided to go the more mad route and screamed some expletives for a while and just sort of stewed and was incredibly angry. Jumped on my phone, told Nick and Pod Vader that I may not be able to do the show because apparently my bionic fingers have destroyed my computer. So I stew for a while. I'm angry, frustrated, and I decide that I'm not going to let this thing beat me. And so, again, I know my way around computers pretty well. And so I have an old external hard drive of the laptop size. And I know what I'm doing well enough to take it apart and put that hard drive inside my computer. And I know what I'm doing well enough to make a bootable USB drive off of my wife's computer. So in the course of last night, I broke my computer, took it apart, replaced the hard drive, reinstalled the operating system, ran all the updates, reinstalled all of my programs that I used to do it, and edited the show together, finishing up somewhere between 3 and 4 in the morning. All that to say, this is a labor of love. I'm an idiot. Don't punch your computer. And hard drives are about as fragile as Tony Romo. So that's my extra point for the day, Neil.
Justin, well, I can say on behalf of everybody, all the super fans, and certainly all the listeners, I listened to the podcast earlier, and it was terrific. thank you for doing that. And I would just say that a bent hard drive, I don't think you can get a cream for that.
Probably could have used some kind of burn cream for just how hot I got after I realized that I had broken my laptop.
I think that's called alcohol, isn't it?
Oh, man, that's what I was missing last night.
Well, Justin, I really appreciate that. And really, fingers crossed. In fact, I've got everything I can possibly crossed, hoping that when you edit this one, that it will sound just as good as all the others. So, good stuff, Justin. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Next Fan Up podcast, Power Rankings. Until next week, I hope you guys win tonight, and I hope you enjoy the game.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.
Yeah, at some point, if you keep beating a dead horse, it's just pink paste on the ground. Can we please move on?
Oh, dear. In this case, purple paste.